Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. This is episode 84 of Art Talk, and today I have a special guest with me, Alison Dollery. Alison is a visual artist, curator, who is very interested in how we perceive our body. And she has several projects around that made me very interested in what she is doing. And so welcome, Alison. Thank you for being with me. I don't want to spill the beans because I think there's so much we can talk about and it will be very good for our listeners to do so. So,
fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So you are interested in our bodies. Is this specifically the female body?
I think it goes through phases depending on what part of the project I'm on. I would say for a long period, I tried not to give the body specific gender because it was specifically around the sort of skin, flesh, and the loose skin. But because in all the images, you're seeing my body, then it does generally tend to be about the female body.
Yeah. Yeah. And we come to that because I did some research for myself into the female portrait because I wanted to show the beauty of people as they are, which they have lost in a way. And I found that a lot of women don't want to have their own face painted.
Yeah.
And that has to do with the male gaze. But we get to that and how that has defined us over centuries. Mm. But what made you use your body as the canvas?
Yeah.
It's very, if you look at your work, it's multi-layered, but in a way that you don't expect.
Yes. So it's actually a very personal story. In 2017, I had what's known as bariatric surgery or weight loss surgery. And I was extremely unwell. And I had the surgery because I was getting to the point where I was losing my mobility. Mm. So I lost 10 stone in weight, which I wasn't expecting to happen. And I then ended up having anorexia after that, which is the complete opposite to, but I went through this period of about 5 years of dealing with the physical, psychological, and just the difficulties around handling body image. Yeah. So I started to draw my own body in a way so that I could understand how it was changing. That's where a lot of the kind of initial flesh images come in. Mm-hmm. Because I lost the weight so quickly, I had a huge amount of loose skin. And that's where you get a lot of these images of skin. I think when I was making the images, I was kind of self-horrified. But now I've started showing the images publicly. There are so many people that are relating to them, that have had children, operations, that are saying that this is just like my body. So that's amazing to experience for myself and for the viewer. But the body specifically is a canvas. So I decided to paint myself and I've made a film, which I need to actually release. I made it originally in 2019. And it's where I basically move through the film and I look like a painting. And I just called it Body as a Canvas because that was just the most obvious title because I didn't want to give it kind of a medical name or... Mm-hmm. It was very much around the gaze. I was doing a lot of research around then. I was doing a lot of research around Carolee Sheehan at the time because she just passed away. So these kind of things all lined up. And then at the same time, I took part in a performance at the Tate with, it was a workshop run by Harold Offer, but they asked us to sort of stay and do a performance for the Franz West exhibition in the afternoon. And that was around the abject and turn your body into a sculpture. So this using the body as a material just all aligned at that point for me. And then since then, it's just been the main point of focus of how do I explore this? How do I research this? What do I need to know? And like you said, you start to go through the historical canon of art. And then this like massive project exploded. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. I had a former conversation with Karen Turner, and she paints also bodies of female bodies, especially that are, not what we are used to look at, because that's all skinny. And these are people who have a volume, which I find interesting, because not only because we are the whole skinny thing is defined by what I think is the male gaze. A lot of men are the fashion designers. But when I was doing my academy and the live painting, I was way more interested in painting the women who have something to paint.
Yeah.
Then the ones you think, oh my God, you can put a skeleton that's the same.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is interesting how we as women look at ourselves.
Yeah.
And the changes our body goes through, and the awareness you need to have to accept yourself as you are, to see the beauty of it.
Yeah, 100%. We haven't been taught as a society to do that. So I think it's something we're relearning at the moment.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of self-acceptance in there, and this level of normality that no one actually looks how. I mean, the heroin chic really affected me in the 90s. Heroin chic, I should say. The Kate Mossberry skinny models, because they're not real, and they're the minority of bodies. So I think I try to kind of portray this body realism, and I don't want to comment specifically on other people's bodies, because I feel like they can kind of take their own responsibility for that. But then there is also this awareness that I have been every single dress size from a size 8 through to a size 26.
Mm-hmm.
And what you learn about that is that your body doesn't change shape. It stays the same shape. The lumps you have still stay in the same place. They're just bigger or smaller. Yeah. And you can go to the gym and you can do all that. But actually, I'm trying to preach through the work that really is just about looking after yourself. And it doesn't matter what we look like. Because I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned through all of this, is that just to kind of take care of yourself in whatever way you see that is. That's very different for every single person. And celebrate how we look. It's kind of gone into this. It's very academic historically, but it has then gone into this body positivity area. And I seem to get very good audience engagement, and I hope it helps people. It's certainly in the exhibition format. It's certainly there's a lot of discussions around how people feel about themselves. It becomes more introspective.
That's one of the questions I have, because your art's partly painting, your partly painting, partly performance, and how does that? How do the blurred boundaries between that influence your audience?
How do they
react to it?
Yeah, I mean, there's images where I'm completely painted in clay and I just look like a sculpture. I look very Venus-esque sculpture. Mm-hmm. Some of them I try to purposely look that way. Others are just natural, so you can kind of see. And there's a point in the exhibition where people walk around looking at my work and they go, oh, it's actually all the same person. They're probably not going to happen so much now because I've got so much work on Instagram, but prior to my work being on Instagram, there was this... Is this all one person? Is this all? And I'm like, yes, every single image is me in a disguised form or a real form. Actually, disguise is not the word, because I'm not trying to disguise myself, but it's a different way. And I like to mix the performance with the drawings. I'm trying to also push the boundaries of that. I push the boundaries of it as an internal gaze as well, because I think there's lots of boundaries pushed where other people are looking at other bodies. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep it internal, just to see what happens with that.
Yeah. And you mentioned Marina Abramović.
Yeah.
She, by the way, has one of the largest exhibitions that just opened here in Amsterdam in the State Museum. In her performance art, she really looks for the limits of the body, explores the relationship between her as performer and the audience. Is that in a way what you do when you use your body as a canvas and in your performance? Is that looking for the limit for the limits of your body and also see what it is you there as a performer and your audience and how that relationship builds or not?
I think, Abramovic goes to kind of more extremes in her work. I don't think I've hit those extremes. I think I'm more exploring it specifically through the lenses of body image. And I think the limits that start to get pushed start to come around specifically nudity. I'm having obviously with my Instagram at the moment, there's the whole image of the whole thing around what you can and can't show on Instagram.
Oh, God, yeah. What I said, I disguised the pornographic because they can't make that distinction. That's the stupidity of the robot.
Yeah, it's not the size. I think I'm playing with that. I think I'm playing with the perceptions of body image. I think they're the limits there. The self thought, the internal thought, the external thought, they're the kind of limits that I'm playing with, which I suppose do resonate very much with people like Abramovic and Carrie, and I love both of their work. I think it took me a long time to get used to using my body in the way I do. I'm not going to pretend it was a very easy way to do it. I was making the work for a long period before I was sharing all of it. There was little snippets of it coming out that I felt comfortable with. And then I went to the Carolee Sheeman exhibition in 2022 and I met one of the curators, Lottie Johnson. And I said, how did Sheeman cope? Because she was quite groundbreaking in how she used her body back in the 70s, even then. And she gave me lots of research to do, and it just made me go, I need to do this. This needs to happen. It's important this happens and uncensored. And I still haven't shared all my work. I'm still trying to get everything out of my archives to do it. So and obviously then I'm making new work as well. So there's this knowledge that's formed now, which I call it manufactured body knowledge. So the whole project's around how our bodies have been manufactured by society. Mentioned the male gaze, there's a female gaze. I call it the manufactured gaze because I look through all these different lenses, and then we've got this algorithmic gaze now as well. And then there's also this opposite thing that's happening, that where we're as humans, I think, becoming more self-accepting, but still on social media, there's still this want to be something else. This more plasticity, that the way people are looking. So is this a war we're ever going to win? Is it always just going to continue this narrative around what people think they should be, what we are? Is that ever going to resolve?
Yeah, it is an interesting thing you mentioned, social media, because I notice a lot of people. I don't think that Instagram can do that, but there are other social media apps where you can put a filter over yourself and you look like a doll or something.
Yeah.
Your eyes start to transform as if you are a doll. And it's creepy. It's really creepy. You're not that. But I see a lot of people do it because they're not happy with themselves.
Yes.
And I have to be bluntly honest. I received 2 days ago a photo. And that's a photo of me when I was 35 years old. And I was shocked to the core because I had, wow, that's a beautiful woman. But at that time, I didn't feel like that at all. I felt ugly. And I had this is shame. This is a shame because you lose a lot of yourself, of your identity, of who you really are.
100%.
And I know why that was, but... there's so many people now, and social media is applying filters so you can alter yourself, which to me is I think one of the causes of mental health issues with people and especially younger people.
I agree. And I think from an art sense as well, it's a kind of portraying the arts differently to how it actually is. So I do try to just be really straightforward, really honest about my different practices, and not try to glamorize it either, because it's not glamorous. It's real. This is very real.
It's very real. It is. Because we had just mentioned the male gaze, and the interrogation has been for centuries the male gaze. The idealizing of the female body, and you say, well, it's manufacturing. Yes, in a way, then they manufactured the idealized body. Yeah. But now you see how that has gone through. We saw it in fashion. We see it now in social media with filters.
Mm-hmm.
And even before, because a lot of the people you see are not who they really are. They're photoshopped.
Yeah.
And so the manufacturing went from painting to now, and the fun's fun, I don't think it's fun, but still males who do this, who create those apps, who create that software that's making this possible.
100%.
And so what you do is not only academic in the sense of art theory or I think it's very philosophical in the sense of who are we?
Of course. And then
do you get that also, that kind of reactions? Does what you do also change perceptions of people who see it?
100%. 100%. And they generally feel more positive after they've interacted with the work. And I'm very generous with sharing my research at the exhibitions as well. So I talk